Hey guys, welcome back to the Not Without Merit podcast, first week in December. I am Jake, with me is Mike.
What is up everybody, and joining us as always is Ben.
Hello everybody.
Hello, we made it to December, Christmas is right around the corner, and soon will be our yearly award shows and nominations. But first, we have more games to talk about. Not much in the new front. Remnants has dominated this past week of gaming for me.
We've played
Jake
a lot.
And I are co-oping our way through that still, and maybe close to the end.
It's so hard to tell. That game is laid out so strangely.
Yeah. I imagine we got to be at least halfway done just for the amount of game we have played right now. But still having a good time with that. Been running into a few unfortunate bugs. Nothing critical or progress, like losing anything like that. But it's a little rough around the edges. But overall, still enjoying my time with that. And then just kind of, more Warframe, Apex, jumped back into Call of Duty finally for the first time in like well over a month. And
yeah, buddy,
it's better. It's better. There's still, that skill-based matchmaking is still a huge issue. They just kicked off their Season 1 the other day. I have not checked out the new map and all that, but I'm sure I will be very soon. But, not a whole lot for me. My plan this week is to knock out both Edith Finch and Observation and hopefully get started on Ori, because they're trying to get down to crunch time, and I'm not doing myself any favors because I bought myself a GameCube over the holiday.
Hell yes.
So, went on a little mini gaming road trip to all the various stores around the city. And
there are so many good games on the GameCube, dude.
Came home with a GameCube, about 7 or 8 games, and about like a dozen strategy guides, which I've started kind of collecting those too.
Nice.
But, so it'll be... So far, I bought the only main first-party title I got was Wave Race, because, as to no surprise, a lot of Nintendo's first-party games are still very expensive. Shocking, right? So I'm not really interested in spending, like, $50+.
I might have a few that I can send you if you have any interest in playing what I have.
Absolutely.
I'll see if I can look through my video game bin. I'm sure there's some GameCube games somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not about paying like, Super Mario Sunshine, it's like $50.
Oh, I definitely have Sunshine if you want to play that, if I can find it.
Yeah, maybe on the Sunshine.
people are very iffy on Sunshine. Yeah. That's like the one game that's so hit or miss for people.
I'm more
Isn't
about
the one
the...
where we got to spray things?
Yes.
That's yeah.
The
one where we got
the flood jetpack.
It was a different kind of Mario game, but it was fun.
Yeah. I'm more interested in the Zeldas, both Twilight Princess and Wind Waker, since I have never played either of those. F-Zero.
It'll be the OG Wind Waker, though, so you're going to have fun traveling the fucking ocean for 3 hours.
It is what it is. But F-Zero, the Metroid Prime series.
Ooh,
I've never played any of those. Yeah, I got a nice little...
Really?
I played Super Metroid and the Game Boy ones and all the handheld ones. I've never played.
I think you might like those games.
I mean, I'm sure I will, because I know those are the first person ones and they seem to be pretty well regarded overall. So I'm very interested.
First
in
two were
those.
Great. I never played 3.
But so I got a whole new library to jump into. So I'll probably
That's awesome.
Be playing that on and off here for a while. And other than that, not too much. Just trying to get these last few games, and then it'll be time to start Final Fantasy 14 once my holiday break gets going right before Christmas.
So no Death Stranding for you this year?
No, there's no way. I can't fit it in. Like
that's fair.
It's just not gonna
I didn't
happen.
Expect you to anyway.
It's like I either play Death Stranding or I play like 4 or 5 other games instead. So it's like I'm gonna take
that's
the
fair.
Quantity route there. Because I just
so
know.
We'll have to
like there's
Go
just
ahead.
Yeah I was gonna say there's just no way I would be able to finish that and anything else of substance, because I know that game's gonna be like 40+ hours, and I'm like I can beat
more
exactly
that's
why I say
more.
Well
40 is a
I guess
low
if you
mainline so
story
there's just no way I can get through that and other stuff And yeah, so I'm just gonna push down the line. It'll be a summertime thing, or who knows? Come, I mean, like we talked about many times, like we're basically in a dead zone until Final Fantasy VIII Remake. Like, so there's quite a few
months. Of February, beginning of March.
Seven Remake? We keep saying that, and it's Last of Us is the actual first game. That's at like the end of. Wait, did that get delayed? See, I can't.
That's May.
Now. Okay, so
the first one is seven, which is in the beginning of. Well, unless you want the. That's March 3rd. Unless you're interested in the Dragon Ball Z RPG, that's in January.
I'm open to it, but I know nothing about it, so I'm just
right.
So potentially one game between now and March. So yeah. So
there'll be some PSN games. I'm sure you might grab here or there.
I mean,
but
there's no major
releases.
Like probably half a dozen games on my Switch that I need to play through because I keep buying stuff when it goes on sale at really good prices, and those just keep stockpiling. So yeah, and Mario Maker just put their 2.0 out. Update out, so
that looks really good.
I got more than enough to keep me occupied for the foreseeable future. So, that's all I got right now.
So we'll have to figure something out where it's like Ben and I'll have a discussion, and then you just don't edit it, and we'll just hope that it sounds good, so that you don't have to listen to story spoiler or something. Because I do want to have the story discussion while it's still like relevant in people's minds. So we'll have to figure something like that out. Very little for me as well. More Remnant with you. The only thing I can add is I've noticed that every time we get to a new potential upgrade area where they start giving us new materials for our weapons, the difficulty spike is gigantic until we, like, conform to what these enemies are like, too. Like, when we first enter those areas, we're just getting stomped. Other than that, though, I'm enjoying it. The bosses are pretty fun. Run into a few that are extremely tedious. Yeah. Mostly, the difficulty from that game seems to come from the ads, or just how many enemies they throw at you. Because they're really hard to deal with at a certain point.
Yeah, that's a game especially where during boss fights. Overwhelmed. Like, it's a very fast road to death. Like, if you're having, like, two or three enemies attacking you at the same time.
I can see why people said that that game wasn't fun solo because were playing. Yeah, you would have quit. And I would have quit by that point, too, because there's just frustrating parts where if you were by yourself, you would either be out of ammo or you'd be pushing so far back into the map, drawing these enemies to
you. You'd be like kiting one enemy at a time when there's a room of 15 enemies and like, okay, if this is what I'm doing for the next 50 hours, like, what's the point?
That's what those ammo boxes are for. That's why we never use them. But if you were by yourself, you'd be using them all the time.
Must use. And must have a lot of them.
I feel like a lot of the consumables that we've been picking up and getting, we'd be using more often if we were... Like, we never use the blood warts at all. We'd be using them constantly if we were by ourselves because you'd run out of healing. So, yeah, the game together is different, but I think it's way more fun than playing that game solo.
Oh, totally.
Other than that, pushing more 14, I'm level 75, so I'm halfway there, I guess, if you want to quantify it that way. Still the best story up to this point as far as, like, all the expansions and stuff like that. And I do want to have it done. Well, I will have it done before the end of the year because that's going to definitely be high on my list. More Death Stranding, I mean, there's no real way to quantify how far I am besides how many 5 stars I have out of the potential max I can get. I think I have like 60 or 70% of the locations 5-starred. Now I'm into the annoying mountainous region, so that's going to be fun. I got to set up a whole zip line area and shit. But yeah. Oh, and I beat Civilization 6 on Deity difficulty.
There you go. Now that's an achievement right there.
Yeah, that was fun, man. It's now that I understand the mechanics of that game, it's really, really, really enjoyable. And games fly by a lot faster. Like things that used to be, you know, 10 plus hours, I can now do in. I mean, that one game I did on Saturday, I did a full day. It's like 5-6 hours. I mean, I had it on sped up turns.
Peel away.
They do. But if you turn on sped up turns, so like the movement's faster, and then, cause, I mean, when I first started, I needed all those pop-ups to tell me what it was and all that stuff, all the tutorial stuff. I've turned it all off, and the game just speeds up once you kind of know what you're doing and what you want to kind of skill into. Like, I don't even have to think about it anymore. It's like, oh, culture victory, I'm going for that. So, domination victory. What's the other? There's four win conditions, right? Culture, religion, domination, and what's the fourth?
Religion.
Science. Science. Yeah. So I've done science and religion. I put a man on Mars, or I put a colony on Mars, and I converted everybody to Judaism. So other than that, I have to get a domination victory. And cultural victory seems hard because you're just trying to pull tourists. So I don't really know how to do that.
Wonders
other
of the
than
world.
Making... Right, but don't wonders. You... Right, but don't you have to, like, attract people from their cities? So would you, like, set up trade routes to attract them or something? Or does it naturally attract the more culture stuff you
build?
It
naturally attracts.
Okay.
There's other things, too, later on in the game that increase tourism, like printing press and the internet, I think.
Yeah, I built Times Square. That was a huge culture thing. It just seems like a culture victory is a much longer game because the amount of tourism you need to win is just insane. And at the same time, you're trying to stave off, like, religion. And it seems like that's one of the harder roads to go, at least so far in my experience. I don't know if that's the case for Civ veterans.
It's been so long. My last few wins have been science victories. I play the neutral game and then just make sure my cities are defended and I can just focus on science and get out of there with a victory.
Science and religion seem the easiest. Science is also another long-term play or long game play because you have to build satellites, and then you have to put somebody on the moon, and then you have to build a Mars thing, and there's like a ton of different steps to it. And then religion is the other one that I found pretty easy because you just set up trade routes, build missionaries, send them out, and just hope for the best. And by the time you've converted big cities and they're doing trade routes with other cities, they start spreading your religion for you. And it's always like that last Civ or like that last main city that you just can't convert because they keep sending whatever the hell it is that can actually fight off your guys, the religious fighters. I forget what they're called.
The warrior monks?
That gets warrior monks, yeah. Those get slightly annoying. But yeah, those two seem to be the easiest for me so far as like what I've learned and understood. I think domination is going to be incredibly intimidating because I know nothing about war in that game.
Yep, that's the toughest one, I think, because you have to really focus on making sure everyone's like boosted up and everything, and you got to watch out for, you know, just the lay of the land, and because you get defense bonuses depending if you're on hills, and there's, you know, the bonus, there's great general bonuses, there's just field units that can build fortifications and whatnot, so siege towers, that kind of thing. It's crazy.
When I try messing around with domination, that'll be when I lower it to like chieftain or something and just kind of screw around with those, because I haven't even really messed with those policies or any of those units, so I'll just turn down the difficulty and kind of try it out and see what it feels like. I'll probably go with somebody with a strong military unit too. I do like that each I'm so late to the game, everybody that's played Civ in the past knows these things, but for me it was, you know, I didn't play Civ 6. It's fun that every leader has kind of their own personality. Like I was playing against Spain, and every time I was trying to move around them, they would get mad at me for coming close to them, and they'd like threaten war and shit like that. It's cool. It kind of changes the dynamic of each game. So, yeah. It's a fun game. I really, really like it. And like I said, if you've been waiting for a game like that on console, the port of this is amazing. Would you ever think about getting it when it's on sale, Ben?
Not on PS4. I'll just play it on PC whenever I get my PC hooked back up.
But, yeah, that's it for me. What about you, Ben?
I'm kind of in the same boat as you guys. Not a whole lot of new stuff for me. Just building roads and Death Stranding. Gotta really take that next delivery. Otherwise, I'm never going to finish this game.
Are you still in chapter or episode 5?
Uh-huh. I haven't done a single story thing. But I haven't played it a whole lot. I played it like 2 days in this past week, if that.
Push some story.
I got to do some story. I've got the road halfway built between the distribution center, mountain distribution center, and Mountain City. So I don't have a whole lot to walk from when my road ends. It's just I wish materials would generate quicker. It's just frustrating.
You mean from the distribution centers?
Yeah, all the places you go to. I mean, it's I'm just doing deliveries nonstop, and then I have to do a big old loop of material collecting. It's just...
Are you doing deliveries that are fresh, or are you replaying deliveries?
I'm doing whatever pops up.
Okay, you know that replaying deliveries... I'm pretty sure that replaying deliveries doesn't give the same sort of rewards.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if there's nothing new showing up for me, then what the hell am I doing all this for?
Well, I'm just saying, like, they repeat. Every 12 hours, they cycle in and out. So at the bottom of the screen, when you're taking orders, it tells you what your grade is, what your highest grade ever for that is, and off to the right side, all the little individual icons tells you what kind of delivery it is.
Okay. Well, it's not bad then. I guess it's something to keep an eye on.
You're relatively early still, kind of. So, you know, knowing that information now going forward, you'll be good.
Yeah, that's true. I did some more Final Fantasy XIV story. It's still good, like Jake said.
What level are you?
76, almost 77. I might be 77. Okay. I can't remember.
I remember you guys talking about a dungeon at 75, so I assume I'll get to that sometime soon.
Yep. That one. Was it the primal? Did you do the primal yet?
73 was a dungeon. That was Ilmig. That was the fairy dungeon. So I assume 75 will be a primal, yeah.
Okay. That fight is insane, so have fun with that one.
Cool. I mean, I'm going to drag you into it anyway, because you insta-cue me, so be prepared.
And then Call of Duty had double XP this past weekend, so I played a bunch of that. I do have Call of Duty points left over from Black Ops 4, so I might... spring for the battle pass since it's
wait the points free. Transferred over that's yeah. nice yeah. Yeah. Even though it was a different company games. Wow okay that's nice to hear good on them for at least doing that
righto so I can get the battle pass and I can get if I can get through it I'll have all my money back because they supply you with COD points throughout the battle pass but I'm still I enjoy this Call of Duty. I don't know. It's they're updating it quickly. They're addressing issues with balancing really quick. The game's been out for about a month and a half now, and they've already had like 3 big updates. So not too shabby. Yeah, that's it for me.
All right, let us jump then right into the news. And since we recorded a little early last week, we didn't get to report on the PlayStation Plus games for the month of December, which, if you're already hearing this, are out right now. And they are Titanfall 2 and Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game. Interesting pairing.
It's a soft month because most people already have Titanfall 2.
You'd be surprised.
If they don't, you pretty much could have picked it up for $5 anywhere.
True. I mean, they've sold that game for like under $10 many times over. Either way, people need to be playing Titanfall, both single player and multiplayer, as they are both fantastic in their own ways and are just a great, great game. And hopefully this
if will... there was ever a time to jump back in, the game's populated.
I say, I'm curious to see what the, because I tried it not even a month ago, and that multiplayer was like, gosh, it was like under 2,000 people playing. So hopefully that has jumped up dramatically, and we'll inject some lifeblood into that multiplayer, because, like I said, it's a fucking blast.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so good. And
I'd totally be willing to download that and play for like a week or something like
that.
Fun,
like weekend, you know, of playing that. I think I'll have to re-download that myself. Nintendo has finally announced the next set of games coming to their online service. First up, for the Super NES Online, we have Star Fox 2, Super Punch-Out, Kirby Superstar, and Breath of Fire 2. Then on the Nintendo Online service, we have Crystalis and Journey to Silius. Now, this is the first time they've announced games since way back in September when they revealed the Super NES library coming to their service. So it has been definitely a long time coming, and it seems that they are, for the most part, just pulling a lot of the same games that were on the Super NES Classic. Breath of Fire 2 was the only one out of that group that was not on the system. Though it is nice to see that Star Fox 2 is now available elsewhere besides just the SNES Classic in an official and legal sense, at least. So more people get a chance to play that game without having to buy a whole other console, quote unquote.
It's too bad that game was never
on there.
Yeah, I had never heard of that game until you guys mentioned it.
Yeah, I played that on Nintendo. I remember enjoying it. I don't remember a thing about it, but I do remember enjoying it.
I just remembered the cover, because as soon as you guys told me the name, I looked it up, and I recognized the cover, but I'd never played it.
Yeah, I don't have much playtime in the NES as a whole, so yeah, Crystalis is one I definitely have not played before. Next up, we have a big 2.0 update for Super Mario Maker 2. Now, the biggest announcement out of this whole thing is that they made Link a playable character in the game. So basically, they have a Master Sword power-up, and it turns you into Link, complete with a whole unique moveset. You can shoot, you can drop bombs, you can shoot arrows, you can attack with the sword. And yeah, looking by the trailer, this is, as far as like level creation, is just going to open up a whole another world.
How was that not in the game already?
I mean, they've been weird about this one, because at least compared to the first Mario Maker, they were releasing updates way quicker than they were for this game. Like, this is the first like actual like true update to Mario Maker since it came out, and we're 6 months into the release. Like, there was already a handful of updates already in the original Mario Maker by this time. But
doesn't Mario Maker 2 have everything that Mario Maker 1 had, so there was no need for any, like, more frequent updates unless they were releasing a big update?
This one had a lot more available to you right away. So, yeah, people were kind of just curious of, like, okay, what are they going to add? So this is a really cool addition, and they added some new mechanics. There's dash blocks. Those were in Mario 3D World originally. Now you can freeze items in ice blocks that would make you have to hit them with a fireball to be able to release them. They have P blocks now as well, and they added two enemies, the spike throwers and Pokey from most famous Mario World. They also are going to add a handful of Nintendo-created levels under a Ninja Speedrun title, and it's basically a leaderboard, you know, beat these levels as fast as you can, and you have, like, ghosts kind of like you would at the end of a Meat Boy level, where you'll be competing against, you know, hundreds of ghosts on your screen at the same time to see how fast you can finish the level if you want to. And then there's going to be one level per week, and they're going to be just adding more periodically, and, you know, just some fun leaderboard chasing to see if you can get to the top.
I can't wait to see all the super talented level creators use all these new mechanics to create crazy, crazy stuff.
I haven't checked in on the game in a while, but even like when I was playing there, there's been some incredible creations people have made. Persona 5 Royal, finally, after what seems like being teased forever, has a U.S. release date, and it will be March 31st of 2020.
It's way sooner than I was expecting.
There is, yeah, it is up for pre-order right this second. There is a $90 edition of the game that will get you a mask, an art book, a soundtrack, a steelbook case, you know, the typical, you know, fanfare that comes with a special physical edition of the title. But yes, March 31st, 2020, you will be able to go back into Persona 5 with new content. Are you guys picking this up, or is it?
Yes, 100%. Wow. I'm ready to play Persona 5 again.
I'm not going to pay full price for it on day one, but I will get it eventually. I enjoyed that game very much. I liked it. Great music, fun story. I'm ready for more.
Yeah. I'm super excited about the new... They added a new semester. They added a new character. So there'll be a new dungeon and all that kind of stuff. I'm ready. What was Persona 5 was February of 2018?
17. Yep.
Jesus. So it'll have been 3 years. Yeah, I'm ready to play Persona 5 again. 100%.
Speaking of ready for more, Dead Cells has announced their first paid DLC set to come out in the first quarter of 2020. It is titled The Bad Seed. They are going to add two more quote-unquote levels or areas that are going to be available to early game. So even if you're not the most skilled player at Dead Cells, you'll be able to access both of them. They are titled The Arboretum and The Swamp. And along with that, there's going to be, of course, new enemies, new bosses, new weapons, two of which they have teased so far as the first ever double slot weapon coming to the game and a loyal mushroom companion. And they also want to assure everyone that this does not mean that there's going to be no more free updates to the game. There's still free content and updates are planned. This is just kind of a paid DLC to help support the team and help them continue to make more free content for the game. And hopefully, it's only $5. That's a no-brainer for me. I'm totally...
Oh, that's super cheap. Yeah.
I mean, I've been looking for a reason to kind of jump back into this game for a while because I keep kind of thinking about jumping back into it, and I think this will be a great time to return to it once it comes out early next year. I'll be very excited to try
Dead Cells did some really unique stuff with a roguelike platform.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah, it was such a great time playing that game. I'm always happy to see more.
Was that this year?
That was last year. It was 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. PlayStation Now has announced a new set of titles coming to the service, the leading one being PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Along with that, Wolfenstein's The Old Blood and Formula One 2019 are all coming to the service. Right now, they did put a limited time date on PUBG that it's going to be on PlayStation Now until March 3rd of 2020. So you have about 3 months to get your fill of PUBG. And just as a reminder, they had dropped the price of the service. It is now down to $9.99 a month, or if you want to subscribe for a year, it is $59.99.
They're so close to making that a viable thing, like price wise.
I mean even $60 I think is fair when there's like literally they even say it in this article, there are more than 800 games on that service. Like, it's crazy.
I just want that in a PS Plus bundle for, like, do it for, I don't care, 100 or 110 or something. Yeah.
If you tell me for $99 a year I can get PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now, I'm in. Like,
yeah.
I'll take that deal.
Sure. You'd never run out of games.
Oh, goodness, no. I mean, shit.
Exactly.
I could only imagine.
Great.
Yeah, like 800, like the thought of, like, 800 games being available, it's like, were there even that many games released between PlayStation 2, 3, and 4? Like, that's crazy to even think about that large quantity of games being available to you instantly.
Not to mention, that's now. If we're talking about getting some sort of bundle when PS5 comes out, it's going to be so much more by then.
Yeah,
and
sure,
all the PS4 games.
I'm sure, yeah, the floodgates will probably open for PS4 games once 5 comes out. So it'll be, yeah, they'll probably be adding tons of them. Because that's how they did with... When 4 came out, they started adding PS3 games.
Three.
Crazy.
Yep.
So it'll be that all over.
I remember when Metal
4.
Gear Solid 4 was added. Mm-hmm. Everybody was super happy. So.
I mean,
yeah, they'll
a ton of quality titles.
Yeah, they do a good job with that. And you're right, $60 is very viable. I just, it's hard for me to pay $120 for an online service and, you know, that service. But it's almost there.
Yep. Yeah, I am right there with you. Our final news story this week is definitely one of the stranger ones we've done in a while. NHL 20 has added Snoop Dogg. Yes, Snoop Dogg not only as a playable character, he also can do commentary for the game. Now, this is not his commentary debut. He has previously appeared in the most recent UFC game, UFC 3, as a commentator. So it seems to be this is not his first forte into the world of commentary, but yes.
Well, let's not forget his actual commentating in an NHL game.
Yes. Also, yes. Well, recently.
If you have not seen or heard that, definitely go find it.
Wait, what?
He did commentary for a Kings game, and it is interesting. You can find those clips.
Is he a hockey fan? Like, does he know what he's talking about?
I would assume so. I
mean, Did he
do a decent job at giving the play-by-play of the game or whatever? Like, he needed to know. Did he seem lost?
But
okay.
He seemed very excited about it. He was enjoying himself. And that's what made it so great. Because he was so into it.
I have to look that clip up. Dude, hockey is the best sport to watch in person.
The link for the news article.
Yeah, there's a there's some.
Oh, that's what the video is. Yeah. I thought that video was like a trailer for the commentary.
No, it's him at a King game doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, it's it'll be interesting to check out. Though I do not want to give EA any money to check it out, so I will stick to YouTube and watch clips of it because it doesn't make that game any less shitty.
Come on, there's just a big update.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm sure. Did they change literally everything about the online? No? Okay, then it's still bad.
Probably not.
That's probably the one thing they didn't touch at all.
The one thing they fixed that I read, which sounded good, was they fixed those damn cheesers with the goddamn left trigger.
Oh, that's L2. Nice. So they fixed
backwards
one
skating nonsense.
One shitty goal. It doesn't make it any more fun to play online, as that's, yeah.
It's very true. Oh.
Such a missed opportunity.
How long are you guys going to hold out hope that that game's going to be good again?
None. I have no reason to believe that they will ever make that series good again.
2K needs to take that license. Yeah, they need. I mean, it's they did such a good job.
Yeah, it just shows. I mean, they can't even fucking make a basketball game anymore. I mean, this seems to put their only focus is Madden and FIFA, and even Madden, from what I hear, is very stale. So I don't know. I don't know where their heads are at. They're obviously not into making the if it doesn't sell, which like Madden and FIFA, obviously they're big sellers. They don't seem to care at all. It's like they get the C and D teams to work on. Put out a hockey game. Just I don't know, because we put one out every year.
In Canada probably pays for the game. It's like,
yeah,
right,
I mean, obviously it has to sell enough. That's because true. Yeah, if it didn't sell at all, they would just stop. They would stop making them. So, but yeah, some competition, like 2K. Yeah, like, please. I know NBA sells.
Those were good hockey games.
I mean, we reported on that couple weeks ago. Like, the last two NBA 2K games are like some of the best-selling games of the last decade. You guys are
for stupid reasons, though. So.
Yeah, you guys got more than enough money to be like, hey, let's jump back into hockey. You know, just test the waters. Put one out. You guys made great hockey games. 15 years ago. There's no reason why you can't do it again. Like, that'd be so nice to see some competition for the hockey games, because it's so disappointing to watch EA put out a subpar product year after year after year after year, and no one else is stepping up to try to like take that throne from them.
I think that's when it was ESPN 2K hockey,
mm-hmm.
where it was
ESPN
branded, and they
2000s.
Had the FMVs and stuff. Yeah, that was really well mm-hmm. presented, and it played really, really well. And in what, 2 or 3 years, we're going to probably start getting NCAA football again.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
what is that, 2021 that hits?
I think so. I don't actually know exactly like when all those rules go into effect, but I wouldn't be surprised if EA
there's no reason not to
starting the groundwork on something, because
that's
got to
be an insane process for them. If it's now an individual thing, are they going to have to contact every single individual player?
I mean, that would be like, There's no way. Like, that would be impossible.
You know what they'll do? They'll just say, like, hey, if you want to be in the game, come to us and we'll figure it out. And if not, we'll just make you like a...
They're
like
only going to go after, like, the big conferences. And there's no... It's not going to be like the old NCAA.
That would be so shitty.
Where it's not going to be
like
100 teams.
That would be so shitty.
It's going to be like, all right, here's ACC, SEC, Big 10, Big 12. And, yeah, like, if you're not in one of the major conferences, like, we just don't, you know, we're not going to hunt down... You know, people playing for like one AA football teams. Like, there's just not the manpower's not there. And I'm sure money wise, like, yeah, it's going to take them a year of just hunting people down. And who knows, like, if are they going to have to re up like yearly? Because even then, like, that just adds so much red tape.
I think that would just be a single deal. Yeah, one off deal. Or they could like sign you. I mean, I guess you don't know how long you're going to be in college. If they do it that way, though. That'll be really unfortunate. I would hate to see, like, because that's like BCS NCAA football. Like, you're going to get like 30 teams of like all the. That's just going to be shitty. And it's
I mean,
not, well, whatever. We'll
it's
see what happens.
Better than the nothing we have now.
Absolutely. Those games are awesome.
It's a start. Yeah. It's going to be.
I would rather see every school represented in some form, though. And then maybe they would go with like your big schools have the real names and then all the other ones don't.
Maybe.
So maybe they could work a deal like that. I don't know. Who knows when this thing actually happens?
I mean,
how the logistics are going to work.
Real names before, and that didn't stop them from getting sued because the likenesses were still like
were spot on too.
So they're
it
just
going to
have to
hilarious.
Like, they're just going to have to hit like the random on every character generator and be like, all right, this is quarterback number 55 and. He looks, you know, he's got an afro and he's a white dude and he's got tattoos on his face. Like, they're not even going to, at that point, it's just like, okay, you know, people are just going to go in there and edit everyone and make them the actual players like they
are. Well, they're going to do that anyway. Yeah, exactly. So,
but
it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, sooner rather than later, we'll get some sort of announcement that that series is coming back because I think they'd be crazy not to bring that back.
Right. Exactly. Like, no matter how they work it, they would be stupid to leave that money on the table because it's right there. Like, you are able to do this again. And they're NCAA was probably one of their top selling sports franchise games of all time.
I would say it's gotta be number three, probably behind FIFA and Madden.
Yeah, I would say so, especially since you could take your NCAA draft classes and import them into Madden.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love
that
was
very
so
cool
much.
Too. And college football kind of relates to even more people than the NFL does because you have like a rooting interest in your school. Yeah, those games were really, really fun.
Yeah, and that was the one that was like kind of always like the guinea pig for testing out new stuff. And then it was like, okay, you'll see these features come to Madden.
In Madden, yeah.
Potentially if they play out. And then
it's true.
I think people get a lot more interest in like franchising and things like that when it's a college team.
And
that's when you
want to
play franchise mode.
Mm-hmm. Like NCAA actually, like, took over in terms of gameplay. It was always better.
Yeah.
It always felt better.
I felt that way too. I remember playing like those ones, and it always felt like a better experience overall.
What was the final year of that? 7?
14.
Eight?
14.
No way, it went that long.
Denard Robinson was on the cover.
Holy shit! Yep. I didn't realize that. They lasted that long.
Yep, that
was
the last one. Still a pretty valuable game if you got a copy.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
But, that is all the news there is to tell this week. So now we are going to jump into our bonus round, which is one we've been teasing and talking about for what seems like a month now. But other things have...
It was supposed to happen for Death Stranding week, but that it didn't.
Things jumped up, things got in the way, and now we finally get to a week where we can actually fit it in. Basically, we're going to talk about kind of all staying up super late all-nighters that we did for playing games, basically. I know, Jake, you have, you were probably the most recent one with Death Stranding.
Well, recent, sure, Death Stranding. But the two that come to mind immediately, well, actually three. Death Stranding, Skyrim, Baldur's Gate.
Yep. I got Skyrim on my list, too.
I did a 24-hour cycle with Skyrim. Jeez. Like, I started playing in the morning, and then when I stopped, the sun was rising again. So that was a problem.
I've definitely had the birds chirping moment with Skyrim.
Yep. I mean, Death Stranding wasn't a stay up to. I planned for that. So, I mean, I played for 15 hours out of a 24-hour day. So that's, you know, kind of intense. But God of War was another one. I finished that very quickly. Yeah, I think I stayed up until like 2 or 3 in the morning one of the times.
Damn.
I don't think I could play that game for too long. I enjoyed it, though.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, like.
There's something about it that I guess I was just enamored with.
Yeah, I think
I needed breaks from that one.
Right. Yeah, I think the last game I stayed up super late for was Black Ops 2. I believe that was also the last game I picked up at a midnight release because I remember. They're giving away like because it was I think a GameStop. They're giving away 4 packs of Red Bull. So I'm just like, oh, this is perfect. Let me just fucking pick up this game at midnight, and I was just down at Red Bulls, and I think that was yeah. I think I stayed up till like 6 or 7 in the morning playing Black Ops 2, and yeah, that was.
Oh yeah, we put a ton of time.
Pretty common with the Call of Duty games, at least up until that point. But yeah, those are always the ones I did the midnight and then stay up super late playing. But the two that stand out to me the most are Diablo 2. I think to this day,
hell
is
yeah.
Still my like longest session playing like a game. I think it was like somewhere between like 12 to 15 hours. Of playing, nice. And yeah, playing it like playing on my bed on my like crappy laptop, which was, and this was like years after the game had come out. So this was like, oh, I have a laptop now. Let me play some games, and I can only play shit from like 3 or 4 years beforehand because it was a piece of crap laptop. But I still like that was my first foray into the Diablo franchise, and yeah, I was like hooked straight away and had a fucking blast playing that game.
When Path of Exile 4.0 comes out, you should try it again.
Oh, I'm very so much again. Like once,
yeah,
once
I think it's
going to
feel even more like Diablo 2.
Yeah, especially with God knows when 4 is going to come out. But yeah, I'm kind of getting that itch to jump into a game like that. So I'm just going to like, all right, do they have like a date for that yet, or is that just
4.0 is sometime next year? Okay. It'll release probably around the time that Diablo 4 does. I mean, they do new seasons every 3 months, and they're implementing new mechanics that are going to be in the 4.0 update, you know, now. So
right.
It's not a bad idea to if you're craving that stuff, POE will completely
scratch
that
itch. It's just, now is not the time
so
for
Final
that.
Fantasy 14.
Yeah, now is
right,
100% not the time to start playing.
No, yeah, 14 is 100% what you need to
yeah,
be
so,
playing right now.
Yeah,
but yeah, Path is definitely something down the line that you should jump into.
And then, like, the other one that stood out to me is Grand Theft Auto 3. That was...
Oh shit, I totally forgot about that one.
That was, like, the only time I ever remember, like, it was on a Friday. That was back in, you know, still renting games for the weekend. On Friday, rent GTA 3, had almost, like, little to no knowledge. Like, I never played 1 or 2, so I had no knowledge of, like, the franchise as a whole. It was just one of those, like, everyone on the internet was talking about it. I'm like, okay, cool. Let me try this game out. And I played it, like, all fucking night, and I went out and bought the game the next day. I'm like, because I just knew.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be into this game for a long time. And, I mean, shit, that was, like, a monumental, like, I mean, one of the most important games probably, like, in gaming history is, you know, GTA 3 for, like, what it did for basically everything as far as, like, third-person games and that franchise. It brought it to what it would eventually come to now.
What's the longest, or the latest you've stayed up playing multiplayer game in, like, not, like, with us online? I'm talking about, like, in a LAN session.
Oh, GoldenEye. 100%.
Really? Yeah, over any Halo game?
I was not a big Halo person.
Okay.
Yeah, I honestly didn't play more than an hour of Halo until Halo 3. So, yeah, it was definitely GoldenEye. Again, another one of those just like I remember like loving the movie and like, oh cool, they made a game. And then I had my cousins over and we were just playing that multiplayer like all fucking night.
Dude, that game was so bad, but so good.
At the time,
like,
you didn't know
oh
any better.
Man.
Now it's
no, of
terrible.
Course not.
But at the time,
you moved with
incredible.
The fucking C buttons. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Like, and you couldn't aim up and down. Yeah, it was weird. That game was fantastic, man. I love GoldenEye. That
oh,
and Halo
yeah.
2
again,
are probably
talking
my.
About, like, most was some of the most important games like in gaming like that was
oh
that made
yes.
console multiplayer like
mm-hmm.
shooting like that was it like there was nothing you know there might as well have been nothing before that.
Everybody played GoldenEye if you wanted to play a FPS with your friends.
Oh yeah, and like that and you know
that or Perfect Dark.
Yeah, Perfect Dark just
yeah,
kind of like
yeah.
you know it, that for me was even better because the bot system allowed me to enjoy multiplayer and not necessarily
yeah.
when there's no one else around to play the game with.
And if you were playing on PC, it was probably like Unreal Tournament or something like that. Fucking
oh,
Unreal
yeah, for
Tournament.
Sure. I mean,
I would love a new Unreal Tournament, like in the old style of just
yeah,
the crazy
like an arena
speed
shooter.
And bouncing
those
around. Yeah,
kind of aren't a thing
like
anymore.
A legit it's, arena shooter.
Yeah, it's weird how like no one's been able to make that genre popular. Like it's you think like why isn't there a Quake? Would they stop at 4? So I guess 5? Like, yeah.
Probably.
Where's
yeah.
Quake 5 at? Like,
they did Quake Arena, but I don't know
that
if that counts
kinda,
in the
yeah.
number or whatever.
Yeah, that didn't seem to take off. But, yeah, that'd be such a blast. Just, yeah, because you're rocket jumping and all the crazy shit. I mean, obviously you wouldn't want to do it on a console because it's just the feel's not going to be anywhere as good.
Also, the FPS would be garbage.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to make it, like, such a lo-fi looking game
yeah.
for it to run at, like, the, like, super high frame rate you'd want it to run at.
Yeah, that wouldn't be fun on... Or it would be fun on console, but it would feel like a slowed-down version, because it pretty much would be. You wouldn't feel the speed that you'd feel if you were playing on, like, a native PC.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Ben?
I have a handful here. I have Shining Force 2. This kind of all spawned from a few weeks ago when we were talking about what I think it was Shining Force 2 we were talking about, and this like topic kind of popped in my head. This one I remember renting after work one night, taking it over to my buddy's house, and we just stayed up all night, and then I had to go into work. I didn't even sleep. Just went straight back to work in the morning. It was awful. I felt like crap. But in this game, these fights, they kind of take a little while because it's really strategic. It's like tactics, you know. It was grid-based and you had to really focus on what you're doing because, you know, you mess up once. Pretty much the fight is not going to go the way you want. And if you have to redo a fight, that's like another 20 to 30 minutes you're spending trying to get through this. That one was kind of like Tactics, like I mentioned, and Tactics is another one of those games where Final Fantasy Tactics, where it was just grinding for levels to unlock different jobs. It's really easy to just pin a enemy in a corner and just like hit yourself while keeping your players alive. And leveling up. That was the other funny thing about Tactics is you could throw rocks at your own teammates and get job points for it. So that was a nice fun way to kind of cheese the game. Another one is Roller Coaster Tycoon. I know I've talked about this game in the past, but you seriously can just lose track of time. Once you start building your own roller coaster, things can get out of hand really quickly. Civilization. Well, Jake's been on that. It's easy to lose track of time in Civilization.
Yeah, that wasn't a stay up too late game. That was just I played too long in a single day game.
Yes. And that one, yeah, it's if you don't see a clock or have a window near you to like recognize that the sun has moved a lot, you can lose time.
That makes sense why they have the time up in the corner now when I play that game. it displays the time. Does it not do that on the PC?
It does. It does.
Okay.
That was the first thing I noticed when I booted the game up for the first time. They had a clock up there. I was like, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
NHL. I know we were dogging it, but I know Mike, Dave, and I spent a ton of time playing this game, staying up late, like straight from work to going to bed. It was NHL a lot of days.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, I can easily say Final Fantasy XI and Final Fantasy XIV. I know my longest gaming sessions were in both of those games. If I've got a cleared schedule, I could easily just play those games until I go to bed. There's just so much to do in an MMO, especially those two. Just a lot of time lost in those games. But it's a good time.
Yeah. Those first couple weekends playing 14, we probably played more hours in a day than we'd like to admit.
We were nonstop.
It was wake up in the morning, start the game, stop for lunch, and keep going. Like, I mean, we made it through 1 to 50 stupidly quick.
Like a week or two.
I think it was like a week. It was bad.
But it was fun.
Yeah, that game's fantastic. I do not regret any of the time I've spent in that game.
Me neither. Well, that's all I've got on my list. Yep. We pretty much nailed everything else.
What's everybody's next anticipated game of just playing for too long?
Oh, man. I don't know. If they make a Dark Souls 4.
You're not going to play Neo 2?
I mean, yeah, but also, like, it depends on how frustrated. If I can keep my frustration levels low, I can play longer.
You know that game's going to be stupid hard.
But it's one of those, like, yeah, that's like, okay, I need to take a break for hours. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my damn mind. So, yeah, those, I say Dark Souls 4, you know, whatever that is. But, yeah, that's probably not a realistic answer. But, I'm trying to think.
Anything that's coming out, like, over the March to, I guess, Last of Us that we know about that you have any interest in playing for a really long period of time?
Probably wouldn't even be Last of Us, because even those games.
You could do Doom in a sitting. Well, depending on how long Doom is, like, you might play that for 12 to 15 hours.
I want to enjoy it. Doom is one of those ones where I will spread out purposely because I know it's going to be a short experience, and I want to make it last as long as possible.
Just play
this one's going to be long, though.
True. I mean, longer, but it's not going to be like 40 hours. Like, it's probably going to be something I'll still finish over the course of like a weekend. It's not going to be
25, something like that.
Whatever the next Fallout game is, that'll definitely be one. Like Fallout 5, or if they make a spinoff, or you know, something like that. I have done that with basically every Fallout game, not counting 76. Like the first couple days is just like 10 hours a day easily playing Fallout.
You've never properly played 7, so if you get hooked into it, you might play that
possible.
For long periods of time. That's
a great
game.
If it digs its hooks in, I can easily see losing a lot of hours to those games.
Especially with the gameplay being like 15, like despite the stupid little things here and there, the combat in that game was very, very fun.
And you know, we just
so was being in the overworld
talked about before, but like Diablo 4, that could be one.
Well, I mean that's a given. Like even when PoE 4.0 releases, that's I can't stop. I mean, those games I know. I mean, Destiny, we did it. We all did Destiny. Played way too much, way too quick.
I mean,
Overwatch, we did way too much, way too quickly. We played 80 hours of Overwatch before
Overwatch,
it even released. Yeah. We had too much time in by the time that game released.
We had a full like game's worth of time into that before it even
officially
came out.
Fucking ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, Call of Duty, there's tons of multiplayer games that we've all played together. It's a fun experience. I mean, you know that you found a game that you're really enjoying, especially with multiplayer stuff, when you're like enjoying being with your friends and just continuing to play.
That helps. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But the one I'm probably going to sink a lot of time into is going to be Cyberpunk.
I know you beat on me every time I say this, but I'm still hesitant because it's in first person. Like, I'm nowhere near as excited as I would have been if they would have said it's a third person, like, action adventure Witcher kind of thing. Like, I don't like the idea of being in first person.
I think it's going to be fine. I don't know.
I'm sure it will
change my intent on the game. The fact that it's first,
you weren't super interested anyway, were you?
I mean, I'm in. Yeah, I mean, because the setting interests me, and it's not a melee focused game, which, you know, was one of my biggest complaints about Witcher. Also, the setting.
Not so much the melee was bad; it was just it wasn't executed well.
Not a good feel.
Yeah, the combat was janky.
They changed the two things I hated the most about the games they make, so I'm interested.
I didn't know you like cyberpunk style stuff, though.
Oh yeah, I'm totally like that.
Okay.
Like, yeah, if that was just like another high fantasy game, that's why I'd have been like, pass. I'm
yeah. You, those you don't yeah, do no, that. I do know. No yeah. Yeah, that game's gonna be fun. If you're gonna spend like 80 to 100 hours in that game, I feel like playing in first person that whole time. I just don't want it to feel like Deus Ex. That's all. Like that. That's my biggest concern, honestly, because I know people love those games. They just never hit me the same way that they hit everybody else. And I did not.
That. I mean, that was the only one I ever played was the Mankind Divided.
It wasn't a bad game.
It was nothing special, but I enjoyed it.
Right, exactly. It was nothing special. But, like, there's two specific people that come to mind, being Frunz and Pav, that, like, will defend those games to the end of the earth. And that's fine. They love those games. It's just I love that setting. It just, that game never did it to me.
To be fair, it seems like specifically Human Revolution was like the pinnacle of that franchise. So
right.
I'm not going to say.
And that was the previous title.
One I did not play. And yeah, that's the one people tend to rave about. So yeah, maybe, yeah, we just didn't play the right one.
I'm sure I'm tricking myself anyway. I know I'll love Cyberpunk because it's CD Projekt Red, and just like with Kojima before Death Stranding, they've never done anything bad in my eyes, so I'm all about trusting them. but yeah, Final Fantasy VII, Cyberpunk, Neo 2 is probably going to take up a lot of time for me.
That game just seems like a game I could only play in bursts. I'm just... those Souls games just frustrate me to no end, and the second I die like two times in a row, and if I lose a bunch of my souls or whatever the hell you collect in a game like that, I get very angry. So
I feel like Bloodborne is like your best starter Souls game just because you can be aggressive. So it kind of lets you play differently.
See, and that's where I enjoyed Sekiro more than I like Bloodborne.
You can be aggressive in Sekiro too. Yeah, I mean, that's an aggressive game too. You can be both aggressive or defensive, and either way works.
So
you're picking up Neo 2. All right, it's settled.
No, Neo 2 would.
Well,
you tried
Neo
2.
1. You have it now.
Yeah, that's true. With PS Plus, it's got a Diablo loot system. If that interests you, it's like there's a lot of, and it's not a Souls game. It's just not. It's more of a Tenchu kind of Onimusha kind of thing.
Yeah,
I guess. It's level-based. It's mission-based.
Yeah, also that, too. Yeah, it's not one huge sprawling open world. It's just, you take it level by level.
It's just, and the combat system's just very complex because you have three different stances, and in each stance you have completely different combos and all that stuff. But once you get all that down, much like with Nier or Bayonetta or anything with, like, Devil May Cry, anything with a combo system, once you get those down, combat's extremely satisfying.
Should try it. Okay.
Fine. No, I'm fine.
Okay, fine. I won't push the point. You did.
You
did
guys try. Trying to sell me on all these games? You know I'm gonna.
It's free. You have it. Play it for an hour and then quit. It.
Do I?
Yeah. It was last.
Yeah. You got Neo last month.
Did I click on it though? That's the question.
Geez.
If you're not clicking on your PS Plus games, you're. Come yeah, on. You should. I even clicked on the Motocross Mountain Dew game or whatever
that
the
game
fuck
might be
it is.
Don't knock it until you try it.
I'm waiting.
Game.
That's a game that I'm waiting for you to randomly be like, yeah, I had nothing to play, so you know I booted this up.
I could easily see myself being like, you know what? I'm in the mood for like a motocross game. And I'd be like, fuck
oh,
yeah.
Oh, no, I know it. I know it, dude. I'm just waiting for your review, and that way I can know if I want to play it or not.
No, thank you.
All right, fine. Won't push it anymore, but you're missing out.
He expanded his horizons too much with Persona 5 3 years ago. He needs to take a chill pill.
What are you talking about? I love turn-based RPGs. Played...
No, I'm just saying, like, you played that, you played Nier. I'm trying to think of other games that you played out of your comfort zone. Yakuza 0 was kind of out of your comfort zone. You really enjoyed that.
I don't know. It's got a great story. I don't know why I wouldn't play it.
If I hadn't been the catalyst of originally boasting about how big that game was, do you think you ever would have, like, oh, yeah, I'll play Yakuza 0?
It did look entertaining, but the combat and everything just didn't appeal to me. But once you raved about the story enough, I thought it'd be easy to give it a try.
Yeah. And you enjoyed it.
I did, very much.
I'm looking forward to 7 because I burned myself out on those games just because I played too many of them too close together. So I'm looking forward to 7's like new turn-based RPG combat system with like the crazy summons and all that stuff. I think it's going to be a nice fresh change to the way that the formula of that game.
I'm fine with it because I wasn't in love with the combat style to begin with, so anything new will be fine with me. I played the game on the easiest level you could.
Yeah, you also played two of them. I binged 6 games in like
a year,
9 months or whatever it was. Yeah, it was gross. Like it was, not that I regret any of that time, but by the time, it's why I never finished Judgment. Like that's a game I still have to go back and finish because halfway through I'm like, fuck, I'm just burned out on this style of game because I just played too many of them too close together. So that was my big mistake. That's why I'm really looking forward to 7 and how different it's going to be. But yeah, for you, like, go play any of them. You'll be fine.
All right. I think that's a good place to end this week's episode. Jake, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Vet the Assassin.
Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
And you can find me on Twitter at JustSurvive, on Twitch at TheJustSurvive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWMPod. You can also go to our website at NWMPod.com, which has links to all of our contact info, links to all of our past episodes, and of course you can subscribe to our show there on iTunes, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher Radio, on Spotify, or your podcast app of choice, in which we always say go and write us a review. And let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week, we thank you for listening. And until next time, take care.
Peace.
See you.
Bye.